Hans Meyer, you're again up.
Back in a trig bag. They won't let you alone at all, huh?
He forgot. May it please the court. Dan Hansen. Oh, do I need to wait for him? Do I need to wait for him?
Yeah.
For the clock?
I'll watch him.
Okay. Get a few extra minutes in. Okay, so this is Anthony Lyons. Let me just make sure. Am I good? Okay. We raised four issues, I think, in this case, but three of them are sentencing issues that I'm not going to talk about because they're not too interesting. I can answer questions if anyone wants to talk about them, but what I find interesting is the suppression issue. So essentially what happens is Mr. Lyons is in a vehicle with this man named James White, and the police know who James White is. They don't like him. They pull him over a lot. So what happens this time? Ultimately, the officer pulls Lyons out of the car and says, I'm going to pat you down. And Lyons then pipes up, I got a gun on me. Okay, so threshold issue is when the search began. Now, there are conflicting decisions from this court on that issue. And we've cited, it's been briefed at length, I believe. And essentially our position is that it doesn't make any sense for the search to begin.
Well, what would you have done if you were a police officer?
I've done. Well, one, there wasn't reasonable suspicion.
What would you have done if you were a police officer?
Nothing.
You wouldn't have stopped the car?
No, that's probably... Yeah, obviously you would have stopped the car. Get Lyons out, maybe. I don't see any reason... I mean, there's no reason to search him. That's our position. There's no reason.
They knew who he was, right?
The officer who searched him didn't know him. The quote is, I didn't know him from the man on the moon.
But they knew White, and they'd had history with White with weapons, right? And there was some movement in the car?
No movement in the car. That's completely not true. There was no testimony of furtive movements in the car. None at all. Did not happen. Now, that's a problem. If that happened, that's a problem. I agree with that. There was no testimony of furtive movements in this car.
Did they frisk White?
They did. Found nothing.
But you don't object to that, do you?
Well, I don't care what they do with James White.
Pardon?
I don't care what they did with James White. I think that's probably...
And I'm asking you a question. Was it proper for them to frisk White?
Well, I guess I could make the argument it wasn't, but I could probably make the argument that it was. They obviously had... He ran the red light. He has history. That's a much closer question, I think.
If you can frisk one person in a car, can't you frisk the others?
I don't think that's the rule.
Birds of a feather flock together?
I think the Supreme Court precedent is directly contrary to that. The Supreme Court has made crystal clear that there has to be reasonable suspicion particularized to an individual.
Well, if the police stop a car, it's being driven by someone whom they know to have had guns, or have guns, and want to frisk him, wouldn't it be prudent to frisk the passenger?
Well, prudence isn't the standard.
Well, he might have passed the gun off to him. Assuming
there's
the driver had the gun.
But there's no evidence of that. They could see them.
The question is, what is reasonable behavior for police in a situation like this?
Always.
The standard
I don't know, maybe I didn't understand you, but did you say it would be prudent for the police to search a passenger
without
a car driven by someone with a gun history?
Not without reasonable suspicion that person is armed and dangerous. That's the standard.
Why not?
Because
why
it has to be
reasonable. I'm not asking about reasonable suspicion. Why isn't that reasonable police behavior?
Why isn't it? Because the Supreme Court says it's not?
That's not a reason. That's an appeal to authority. I'm asking for a reason.
I mean, that's the basis of it is the Constitution.
I mean,
what's
the big deal, being frisked?
I mean, you can... Well, it's a very big deal. I mean, it's an
Why
intrusion.
Is that a very big deal? I don't understand that.
When an officer
you go to
touches
the airport
you?
And affect your frisk, sometimes you're frisked.
Hmm.
Nobody cares about... I don't think people worry about that. Why is it a big deal? You pal around with criminals, get pulled over, they're frisked, you're frisked. Why isn't that reasonable? Police have to protect themselves. Why isn't that reasonable? That's what the Fourth Amendment says. Only unreasonable seizures are forbidden. Why isn't this reasonable?
Because we know that a reasonable search in this context is based on reasonable suspicion that the individual is armed and dangerous.
Just reciting formulae from decisions. Mm. I'm asking for the common sense of it. Now, maybe even though there's no common sense, if the Supreme Court has spoken, that's true. They've spoken to this issue, we're bound. I certainly acknowledge that. But I wonder if there's any common sense to your position.
I mean, putting the Fourth Amendment aside, is that what you want me to do? Just
putting what aside?
Putting the Fourth Amendment aside. You just
have you read the Fourth Amendment?
I absolutely have.
Well, it doesn't say anything about frisking.
It says the right of the people to be secure in their persons shall not be infringed.
So, and here there wasn't even a frisk. There was just an announcement, I'm going to pat you down.
And our position is that the search was initiated at that point.
At the moment he spoke, but he hadn't touched him.
It's an order.
He hadn't
yes.
lifted the shirt, hadn't asked him to lift the shirt.
Correct.
And the response comes from the defendant, I've got a gun.
Absolutely.
So at that point, he's clearly got more than reasonable suspicion.
Well, yeah, that's why we need the search to begin at the order. He clearly, we have problems.
Well, I understand how the seizure could begin mm-hmm. at the time he makes the statement. In fact, it's begun as soon as he gets that car stopped, I guess. But how does the search begin on the announcement that he's going to pat him down?
Well, you know, there's an analogy to the seizure law in that, I mean, it's an order. It's not a question. And we know that when an individual is ordered to and the analogy is to Harda-RD, Supreme Court case that says you have to actually submit to authority to be seized. And we think the same rule would apply in this case. And essentially, look, if you're ordered to be seized, if you're ordered to be searched, and you submit, you are seized or you are searched.
Well, had the officer said, lift up your shirt, and he complied, I would understand.
So you think there's a difference between the lifting of the shirt?
And the announcement that he's going to pat him down. That seems different to me.
I don't know. I don't know how that would matter. Lifting. I mean, clearly the command, lift your shirt, I'm going to pat you down. Is that what the analogy?
Right. And that exposes the gun.
You know, I think the submission, our point is there's a submission to authority either way. I mean, if you are ordered to lift your shirt and you do, if you're ordered to be searched and you say I have a gun, you're submitting to authority. And at that point, the Fourth Amendment applies. Because if it doesn't, and the problem is, we know that the Fourth Amendment exists to protect the police. We just had this discussion.
There's what?
One of the reasons it exists is to protect police. I mean, that's essentially why we have all these rules. We were just discussing about should you be able to search. I mean, police protection is one of the reasons this happens. If that's the concern here, wouldn't you want the defendant to say, I have a gun, and then keep his Fourth Amendment rights? Because the contrary rule is that a defendant would not do that, he would be patted down and he would keep his Fourth Amendment rights. So it just seems contrary to say you forfeit your Fourth Amendment rights when you submit in the search context, whereas if you don't submit, you still have your Fourth Amendment rights. But in the seizure context, your Fourth Amendment rights don't attach until you submit. And Wheeler, and that's the problem with, you know, we have one case from this court, Wheeler, that says, look, that's when the search, arguing that the search didn't begin at the point at which the individual was ordered to be frisked is pure semantics. Then we have another court.
I agree with you. This is angels dancing on the head of a pin.
Okay.
But it seems to me, as long as the police act reasonably, given their knowledge of white. I don't see what the problem is.
Other than, I don't know.
So, apparently, look, you go to an airport, and they'll frisk you, they'll x-ray you, they'll whatever they want to do, right? And nobody cares about that. It's for the protection of the passengers and the public. And similarly, this is protection of police officers. suspicious of if they have well-founded suspicion of the driver, it's just natural to think, a male passenger may be dangerous. Of course, this fellow did turn out to be armed. I know we're not supposed to use hindsight, but I just don't see it. I don't see why. It obviously bothers you. I don't see why. It seems so inconsequential.
Well, I think it bothers me because there's case law that says it should bother me. And I know you don't want to talk about that, but, there's clearly D. Ray from the United States Supreme Court, suppressed evidence of a similar situation. Yeah, you bar and...
Of course, in fact, the Supreme Court has been very permissive with regard to automobile searches, right?
Well,
very permissive.
If there's reasonable suspicion, ultimately that's the standard.
Yeah.
Is there reasonable suspicion?
The big question is reasonableness, no matter how we go.
Say that again?
Big question is reasonableness, no matter how we look at it.
Yeah.
Reasonable suspicion, reasonable action, reasonable fear, reasonable whatever you do.
I would just qualify that it's particularized to the defendant. That's what the court said in Terry. That's what the court continues to say. So as long as it's particularized to the defendant, yes.
Yeah.
And our position is that
we're back down to the use of common sense. So, as amended by Congress, of course.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Hansmeier. Ms. Mullen?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Linda Mullen on behalf of the United States. The panel clearly has a very good grasp of the facts here and the law here, and so I'm not going to belabor the points that have already been made. I will say two quick things about the Fourth Amendment analysis. It's our view that this Court can affirm on one of two grounds or both of those grounds, one being that by the time the officer touched the defendant, that's when the frisk began, and by that point the defendant had said, "I have a gun on me." The other being that the officer had reasonable reason to believe that Mr. Lyons was armed and dangerous when he asked him to get out of the car and told him that he was going to frisk him. We agree with the panel that this boils down to reasonableness, and so with respect to the police officer's actions here, we have, police that are pulling over a car because the driver has a suspended license. And that could have been a relatively routine traffic stop, but it really turned into anything but that when the driver fled initially from that stop. And that, of course, is what caused the officer's concern for their safety in this case, is the fleeing of the car. Both officers testified that when a driver flees in that situation, when it should be something that's relatively routine, speeding, suspended license, something like that, it causes them to be concerned that the occupants of the car are using that time to either hide a weapon or retrieve a weapon. So that was their concern. And that concern wouldn't be particularized just to Mr. White. Obviously, it would be a concern that there's a weapon in the car. If there's a weapon in the car, the weapon could be on Mr. White, Mr. Lyons, or somewhere in the car when they pull the car over. I'm happy to answer any questions that the panel might have.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Mullen. Do you have anything further, Ms. Hotspur? Pardon? Okay, well, thank you very much for your representation, for the defendant's representation. We thank Ms. Mullen as well, and the court will be in recess.